This story about the Citigroup, I thought was an internet hoax for a while. Then I did a little research, and they're serious. They really are thinking about this, aren't they?
Well, you know, there is a precedence for this. If you go back and you study history, in March of 1933, as you know, we had a bank holiday. We had a three-day cooling-off period shortly after the inauguration of President Roosevelt, and they were very concerned at that time that they'd have a run on the banks as well.
Well, and here we go. Now, are they just doing this to be prepared because legally they need to let people know about this, or do you think there's something afoot here?
Well, I think they're trying to get prepared. As you know, these banks have tremendous exposure to the commercial real estate market.
Yeah.
And as I have said many times, George, I believe the commercial exposure to these banks could very easily be three or four times what their exposure has been to residential property.
When do they see that hit? Because it's starting, I think. But when's it going to be big?
Well, I think it's going to be big starting in the second half of this year and then more importantly in 2011. But, you know, when you talk about prior busts in real estate, as you know, George, there were big problems with New York real estate in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, Texas had their problems in the 1970s. Then we witnessed Japan and Los Angeles get in trouble in the 1980s. And then most recently, we had Russia in the 1990s. And then just going back about 60 days ago, as you know, we've had our problems in Dubai.
Well, who would ever think Dubai would have problems?
I did.
They've got all this oil money. How could they have problems?
Well, you know, when you leverage out your assets and you build far beyond, you know, what makes sense, and
yeah.
I think when you take a look at the size of the projects, just quite honestly, George, they didn't make any economic sense.
No, not at all. It was all pride and ego, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and it caught them, bit them badly. Was it all cash flow too, Joseph? They're running out of their ability to service debt?
Well, they're running out of their ability to service debt. And I think when you take a look at globally what's been going on in these markets for quite some time, this has been, as you know, a very unsettling environment. And now with the problems we're seeing with Greece and now this talk that possibly Portugal and Spain could follow, this is a very tumultuous time in these markets, George.
How will this collapse, let's say, in the commercial real estate sector, how could that affect us as individuals?
Well, I think when you talk about, and let me just give you a quick statistic. As you know, Atlanta, Georgia was one of the hottest commercial real estate markets during the boom years.
Yeah.
They're now sitting on over 24 million square feet of empty space, George. That's just Atlanta, Georgia. We're not talking about in Texas or California or the Northeast. We're talking Atlanta, Georgia, 24 million vacant square feet. That's an awful lot of space to rent, George.
Yeah, it is. It is. Who's going to buy? Somebody's going to buy it at a deal eventually.
Well, you know, we went through this when I was a contractor with FDIC and the Resolution Trust in the late 1980s, and we had the commercial bust in Houston, Texas, and the FDIC had to go in, take over the failed thrifts, and then try to dispose of the structured assets. And it was a very challenging time. And in a lot of instances, they took the assets to the block. They didn't even get a bid. So, you know, I've seen this before. I know how difficult it can be. I've certainly gone through periods where the banks refused to lend. And going back to those days, just about 20 years ago, when things were really tough, banks were looking for you to put up $3 in assets to borrow one, George. So, I mean, this is a repeat. I think we're in the very early phases of it, but I think the snowball of this commercial debacle is going to take residential real estate down the rest of the way.
I think so, too. Even in Texas, Ross Perot Jr. has a company he had to sell out to the German investors.
Yes.
He lost about $100 million in this
wow.
deal, and he got out.
Yes.
And you would think these folks have unlimited money.
Yes, you would.
That's scary.
Yes, very scary.
So how can somebody at home profit on something like this? Or what do you recommend? Just stay out of it, collect your cash? What do you do?
Well, you know, I said going back over the years, and as you know, I write a monthly newsletter, straightmoneyanalysis.com, and in that monthly newsletter, I try to talk about the domestic and international economies of the world. But more importantly, George, I try to speak every month to what's going on in the U.S. economy, the equity and debt markets, certainly the very important part of energy and what it's going to play in the years ahead of us. And I write monthly about the precious metals and why I think people should own them. But to keep it very simple, and I think that has to be of paramount importance to most investors, going back 3, 4, 5 years ago, I basically said, sell the stock market, the bond market, real estate, hold some cash, buy gold and silver, and buy oil and gas. And if you did that, you're doing now extremely well. And I still don't think it's too late, and I know a lot of people disagree with me. They think the commodity bull market is over. George, I don't think this commodity bull market's even started.
Jeez. How much cash should people keep at home, Joseph?
Well, you know, I've often said to people, if we start to see some real problems in the banking sector, and I tend to believe, you know, that's ahead of us, I would keep 3 months' living expenses at home in cash, George, and I'd keep it in small bills, 5, 10s, and 20s. You know, I wouldn't take a bill any larger than $20 because it may become hard to pass. But I would just keep it in a safe place just in case these banks close and possibly in some instances they don't reopen.
Now, you're still protected with the FDIC,
yes,
right?
Yes, you are.
Up to what, $100,000?
$250,000.
Is that going to drop at all?
Well, you know, going back when I started on Wall Street in 1972, and I think you can remember those days as well, we used to have FDIC insurance was $30,000 per depositor, and then it got raised to $40,000. And we thought, well, you know, $40,000 per depositor, we're pretty safe. Then the FDIC in one jump raised it to $100,000 per depositor. So FDIC insurance will come in and certainly protect the depositors. No one has ever lost a dime, you know, in a bank where there was FDIC coverage. But I think the problems as we move forward, when we talk about housing and banking, I think the worst of this situation, honestly, George, is still ahead of us.
Well, now, if the FDIC, though, they're running into trouble, too, right now, aren't they?
Well, you know, they recently had to raise their budget roughly $5 billion. They've recently hired about 1,600 new employees, and I think they are gearing up for some massive bank closures in 2010 and 11. But ironically, so far this year, George, we've only had 12 bank failures so far in 2010. And as you know, last year we had almost 200.
Yeah.
So I still think we're going to see a lot of bank closures as we get into the second half of the year. And I think we're going to see lending become even more restricted by these banks. And quite honestly, right now, these banks are refusing to lend to anybody.